Blog Talk Radio.
Dog Dynasty League headquarters in Maguanago, Wisconsin. Fat Guy with a Phone Productions proudly presents another episode of the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast. Let's kick it off here. It's time to enter the doghouse. You're in your 40s. You're married, maybe not. You have nothing better to do. Why not do a podcast, right? I'm your host, the commissioner of the Mad Dog Dynasty League, the aforementioned fat guy with a phone himself, Rick Goreski, and tonight we're going to do a little off-season banter for the Mad Dog Dynasty League. We're going to touch on some NFL news, but I keep saying we. Before I go no further, it's time to save the show by adding the we to me. Please welcome my guest at this time, like those guys from the NBA at the Olympics. He once accidentally walked into a brothel in Rio. Afterwards, the term "he's on fire" was born. You should get some royalties from NBA Jam, man. T-Bone, T-Buck, the Vaccinator, Tom Buckles, join us. What's up, dude? Hey, you know what? I should actually click you in. How about that?
I'm here. How about you click
me
in?
So how you? There you are. What's going on, buddy?
I'm here for another night and another day of some more podcasting.
Podcast heaven. Like I said, you're 40-something years old, just like me. What else are you going to do on a Saturday night? The old days are over. We are not out trotting around town. We're doing podcasts about fantasy football.
Man, we are old.
What did Brian's daughter, Brian Cash, call us? A bunch of fat old white guys.
Hasty,
well, anyway,
white, old men.
We're going to talk it up freestyle here. Not a ton of planning. We're going to start with the latest NFL and league news. I can tell you right now that I just found out that Reuben Foster, I know I saw this article earlier, but I didn't know who it was that got booted. Reuben Foster was sent home from the combine, the scouting combine in Indianapolis. I guess he got to know what's being referred to as a heated altercation with a hospital worker. I don't know what to say to that. I mean, they say shake it more than twice and you're playing with it. I guess if you hold it more than 2 seconds while they cough, squeezed a little too tight.
Wow.
You know, I'm just wondering, is this kind of like, is it an LSU fan or an Arkansas fan? Did he play for Bama?
Yeah, he was definitely a Roll Tide guy. I didn't catch this, but wow, that's a good sniff out there, my friend.
Well, it leads to the first topic that I kind of want to throw out there, and that is the fact that, I'm sorry, how dumb do you have to be? Each of us has to go into work at different times in our life, if not right now. And at times, you got to just eat it. You got to just hold your tongue. You got to just, you know, be a good boy and just a good soldier and get through it. What the hell's up with these guys that have to, you know, they can't stop, you know, doping it up before the combine when they know the drug test is coming, or they get there and they can't hold themselves back? I don't know. And you don't want to jump to conclusions in all fairness. You don't want to, you know, rip the guy. Maybe the person deserved it, but they did send him home. So that's kind of the indication would be that he was at least partially at fault. What are you thinking?
Yeah, and he was
about that overall issue.
I think it's crazy. I don't know why a guy can't just suck it up and realize, hey, man, this is your career. You're in front of guys that can make or break you. You want to be blackballed for the rest of your career, or not even your career starting, and you're going to go start off on the wrong foot. Like you said, maybe somebody from LSU or Clemson or whatever hit a fan fan slip the doc some money, or else the doc's an ex-guy from Clemson or something that decided to just, you know, push him over the edge, see what he could get out of him, and he took the hook, line, and sinker on it. So, yeah, and he's been rumored to be going, you know, pretty high, you know, top five pick, and now there's questions that this guy could be, you know, like have some issues, brain, you know, because of concussions and stuff like that in college and neck stingers, you know. I guess the guy's coming off rotator cuff surgery. He was going to be their possibility at 49ers pick as a Patrick Willis, you know, their guy to replace him. And
who's the guy that got picked by Buffalo last year?
That would be the Reggie Ragland.
So I just was listening to Kuiper and McShay. They do this awesome podcast called First Draft. If anybody out there that's listening, if you're not listening to that, you're doing yourself a disservice. It's not, you know, you can focus in on the episodes you want to listen to, but long story short, they talk about all these players as we lead into the NFL draft, and then leading into the week or two, 3 weeks before the draft, they actually go, you know, team by team saying who they think they're going to pick. But long story short, they were just talking about Foster today, and Mel Kiper and McShay agreed with him. Kiper was saying that Foster, in his opinion, was better than the guy from Buffalo last year. That he's clearly the top linebacker for this year's draft, and that he felt he was better than Reggie Ragland. I think that's saying a lot.
Yeah, I think they said if you put him in the class of the guys that were last year too, he would have took top billing even over Jalen Smith, and that's saying a lot before Jalen Smith's injury. So then you also had the kid that Jack over in that went to the Jaguars. So Miles Jack out of UCLA last year. You got those guys, and they were rumoring this guy up to be better than what came out last year. So it's a definite hurt to this guy. Thing is 49ers last year picked up a nice defensive end in the draft last year. And, you know, whoever falls between that split end of Jarrett and I forgot the other guy that's on the on Alabama that's coming out this year. I think it was Brown. I think it might be his last name.
For which defensive line?
There's another
Anderson?
Defensive lineman.
Talking about Anderson's an outside linebacker. You're talking about Allen.
Yeah,
first name
Allen
starts with a J.
Yeah, you got Allen, and then you've got Jarrett are the two guys. So now you got a flip-flop. Whichever one falls, you got to almost look at one of them guys. And then, you know, I mean, if they need a running back or whatever they're after, they can get a guy in the second round. Even if they're still hunting around for a quarterback, even though they're still talking, trying to steal Kirk Cousins. So
Go ahead, buddy.
Oh, go ahead. I'm good.
I was saying my buddy Jeff that I work with was saying the other day that San Francisco is quickly becoming one of the absolute worst-run franchises in the NFL. I mean, Cleveland has been the worst franchise in the NFL. San Francisco and the circus that they've become, it's kind of stunning. If you go back to the 80s and, you know, the Niners were the team to emulate, the Packers, you know, taking their coaches and the flavor that was kind of that West Coast offense carried this franchise to precedents that are still, you know, I don't want to say they were never seen before because this team was so good, but they've certainly put us on track to be a winning team, one of the better franchises in the NFL again. So it's hard to see them just flop.
And to go in and pick up a guy like Lynch, who's not even really got any groundwork as a coach in the league or anything. He went right out of the booth and right into a general manager position for a 6-year contract with no history of anything with managing, coaching, anything. And now you put him right up into the box and he's going to make decisions. I mean, they might have set themselves up again.
It really doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's funny you bring that up because I almost forgot it so many weeks ago, but it is one of the most bizarre decisions I have ever seen in my life in the NFL. How do you take a guy that has no experience at all? Yeah, he's a great guy. He is. And I'm sure he's incredibly smart about football. But like any job, you got to have some kind of experience. And they're like, well, he had a little bit of scouting experience or something. Is that put you to be qualified to take over an NFL team? Am I qualified? Are you qualified to take over an NFL team? I do a shitload of research on the NFL every year. I sure as hell couldn't run a team, at least not worth a damn. Maybe Cleveland will call me. Hey, let's try this. This guy might be onto something. I mean, they're doing the Costanza thing.
Yeah, it could be. It's kind of ridiculous to see what they're doing. So I couldn't believe that it happened.
The last episode that I did to kick off the season, I talked about Pagano, and there was this article that said something about Colts. How something about Pagano needs to win now, or the message to Pagano, you need to win now. And I'm like, really? You got to tell him that? Well, was this the Costanza thing? Like, really? What, is that wrong? Was I not supposed to lose? Somebody had to tell him that?
Exactly.
It's just the kind of thing that we're talking about right now. You have to tell a franchise that maybe they should pick a general manager that has some experience. But, you know,
yeah.
The coach, from what I understand, has control over the roster, so the general manager, I don't think that's going to sink or swim that situation. I think that the Schottenheimer himself is going to sink or swim that. Well, frankly, the ownership might ultimately sink the whole thing, but anyway.
Yeah.
Basically, what I wanted to go back to, though, was just to wrap that topic up about Foster being kicked out and guys that just can't seem to keep it together. And I'm talking about, you go back, I think it was a year or two ago, Gregory from Dallas, Shane Ray up in Denver. You have these guys that have so much at stake. And if you're an NFL franchise and you're going to pay a guy millions, and let's make no doubt about it, when they're making these draft picks, careers are on the line, and not just the players. You know, the executives that are making picks, they're on the line as well, their jobs. Franchises that waste draft picks, that don't get anything out of their draft picks, they just usually end up in the bottom of the league. And the turnover at the top is going to follow. So do you put your future on the line and your franchise on the line for a guy that couldn't just get through a physical or whatever the hell was going on? I mean, I think it would make me hesitate, like you said, if Garrett and Foster are there. I hear Garrett will be one of the top 2-3 picks. But, like, if Allen's there and Foster's there and Allen's actually got it together. Foster, by the way, was Auburn. I think I said Alabama earlier. But my point is...
Yeah, Reuben Foster, yeah, he's Alabama.
He is Alabama?
Yeah, he is Alabama.
Okay.
Yeah, and then it's Jonathan Allen, the guy that they're contemplating, the defensive end from Alabama, and Jarrett from Texas A&M. They're kind of flip-flopping, the two of them. A lot of scouts and everybody are flip-flopping on which guy they prefer, you know, over the long haul.
I've got a bunch of guys written down that I'm hoping we get a chance to talk about. But before we do that, let me break the news. Matt Blankenberg from Dream Team sent in some contracts today. He wants to sign Cam Newton to a 3-year deal. I haven't verified these contract amounts yet, but I'm going to use what Matt submitted. Of course, again, I will check these amounts to make sure they're as they should be. But he wants to sign Cam Newton to a 3-year deal. He wants to sign Lamar Miller to a 3-year deal. Cam Newton, by the way, $7.59 a year. Not bad for a starting franchise quarterback in our league. Lamar Miller, 3 years at $6.17 a year. Tyreek Hill, the lightning in a bottle rookie that he picked up last year, 3 years, $6.17 a year for Tyreek Hill of the Chiefs. Brandon Marshall, curious. He just got cut, if I'm not mistaken. He asked for his release. 1 year, $11.44. I guess Matt feels he's going to pick up with a team that will, you know, make it worthwhile, worth at least $11.44. Cut in here anytime you want, Tom. I got several more of these to go. If there's something that strikes you, you want to talk about.
Fire away, man. Keep going.
Max Williams, the tight end that I think everybody usually dream team's pretty damn good in the draft, but I remember when that Max Williams pick happened, everybody kind of felt that was a little forced. He's signing him to a 3-year deal at 50 cents a year. Jesse James, 3 years at 56 cents a year. Carlos Dunlop, you traded it to him last year, and it killed the marauding Minotaur season. I'll tell you about that in a moment. Dunlop, 2-year deal, $6.06. Trey Flowers, defensive lineman, $2.42 on a 3-year deal. David Irving, 55 cents on a 3-year deal. Corey James, linebacker from Oakland. I actually traded him that guy last year for Philip Dorsett, 55 cents on a 3-year deal. Eric Kendricks, the draft choice. I think he's Minnesota Vikings, right? 3-year, $5.76. 3 years, $5.76. And last but not least, Shaq Thompson, the steal. I loved it when he drafted this guy. I hated it when he drafted him because I wanted him, but I thought it was a fantastic pick. 50 cents over a 3-year period of time. So those are
the
signings that Dream Team's got coming up. I'll have those loaded to the site probably tomorrow morning, if not tonight. But Dunlop, I need to tell you, everybody probably doesn't know this, but I talked to Brian, the Marauding Minotaurs, Brian Koch. I talked to him a lot during the off season, and he was talking about his team and how close he came. You know, I was actually talking to him about how close he came, and he came on at the end of the year, and he made a real run at the playoffs, and he almost got that wild card spot. And he said that he felt like it was that trade with you and Dream Team that kind of screwed him. Not in an unfair way, but he was kind of pointing out, like, man, that was that loss that I had when he was playing, and I can go back and look at it. He was either playing you or playing Dream Team, and he ended up facing, I think you're the guy that got Jordan Reed, right, out of that deal, Tom?
Yeah, I ended up getting
wasn't there another
Reed
guy that went nuts? Well, that was the Julio Jones game when he went psycho. Yeah, Todd,
yeah.
So Brian was playing you that week. And at the end of the year, so you make the trade with Dream Team. Julio Jones goes nuts. I think he had like 47 points or something. Jordan Reed blew up for 2 or 3 touchdowns or more that week. It was just a great week for you, and you blew Brian away. And at the end of the year, it was that single loss to you that week that, you know, had you guys not made the trade – We went back, Brian and I, you know, while we were just chatting it up, went back and added things up. And in the lineups you guys had been running, he would have beat you, and he would have made the playoffs. So your trade with Dream Team shifted the balance of the league as far as playoffs.
I remember Brian bringing that up to me in the season, too. He's like, you know how much this sucks? I had just got done playing Julio a week or two earlier, and now I play him again. It was like almost back-to-back weeks, he said, that he had played him. He was like, man, this really sucks. And then he caught the brunt end of it the next, you know, that bad week I got him on.
Well, let's be honest. No one's ever – I've never seen that before. I've never, ever seen somebody make a trade and have it go that well for one team. I mean, holy crap. You had to be just doing flips. You had to be like, holy crap. I timed this right.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I ended up getting the Matt Jones. What the weird part was, Matt Jones had his best week that week too. So here I get Matt Jones from him. So he got 23 points. Julio got 48, and Jordan Reed got me 28. So plus I got
everything
the
you touched
that
was
I
gold.
Had. And the points I got still because Dunlop's game had happened already. So I got his 28 points for that week. So it was like,
yeah, I remember
geez.
That.
Pile on. It was a big week.
Well, that's the news. That's what I have right now for you. I can quick scan and see if there's anything else that you know, the Cowboys are playing possum, acting like Romo might stay and be a backup. Yeah, that's not going to happen. They're going to trade him, or they're going to have to cut him. I did
yeah,
hear earlier
kind of
today.
Money.
Yeah, I heard earlier today, which was I don't know what to make of it. I don't know if they would really do it, but the Cowboys, Washington Redskins, and the 49ers were rumored to be having discussions about a potential three-team trade that would have sent Cousins to San Francisco and then Romo to Washington, amongst other players and picks. So I have no idea if that would really happen. It'd be really curious because you'd have the Cowboys sending, you know, a major asset to a team in their division. But maybe
right.
They just want to get rid of that
yeah.
salary and get that over with.
Yeah, having to see the guy that you had as your main piece for years, and then all of a sudden, boom, you trade your main face, your franchise that your owner loves, and then all of a sudden you got to see the guy twice a year now. I don't see that happening. Another thing I saw in the news was seeing that the New England Patriots have offered up their last pick of the first round to try and sneak Brandon Cooks out from underneath the Saints right now.
Yeah, you know, I have heard that Cooks is potentially going to be out of New Orleans, which is kind of hard for me to understand because he seems like he's just tailor-made for that. You know what I mean? With the turf and the speed that he has, and you got Drew Brees that can toss it up to him. I mean, Sean Payton, the coach, it just almost seems, you know, a match made in
heaven. I can see him, though. I can see him being a guy that would fit the mold, though, of what's going on up there, though, in New England. He fits that prototypical receiver that they like. He's willing to stretch the field, or he's willing to be that guy who would go across the middle. So he's a smart dude, good route runner, good hands, fits that team. It would just be crazy to see them all of a sudden end up with him over there, and then if they decide to bring back Michael Floyd, that could be crazy up there.
Could and
be looking at
for
a
New Orleans, New Orleans still has Michael Thomas, who played big time last year. So, you know, I guess they love that guy, and I forgot who picked him up in our league, but
that's
they
Gar's
lock
team.
Him up. Was it Gar? Yeah, it was a great pick.
Yeah,
I praised
yeah,
it last year.
Yeah, Gar. Gar got him, and he picked up Jordan Howard. Both of those are two stud rookies from last year's draft that he picked up. And
Jordan Howard was great. I have no idea how that guy lasted as long as he did. And it's funny you say that because what I wanted to do right now, if you're good with it, was go back to last year's draft. And I'm clicking onto the website to see that the drafts have not seemingly come over. Like they, you know, we used to be able to click on draft and be able to see all the picks and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Looks like it's up there for 2016. We can see the history, but why
yeah,
don't
you
we
can
go
back
and if you're good with it, let's revisit last year's draft. Let's take a peek at it and let me do a time check because as I told everybody in my last show, I'm really rusty right now on this stuff and. The free-for-alls are a challenge to manage the time on because usually, as you know, Tom, we set up kind of a rough outline of what we're going to talk about, and it usually works out pretty good. But in this case, we have about 21 minutes, 20-ish minutes left, so plenty of time to talk it up. Let's kick right in if you're good with it. I'll recap
yeah.
the first round, and why don't we go pick by pick and just talk about you know, how that pick worked out and I'll list how many points they scored for the season and we can say if we think there's still some stuff that kind of is open for the person's future or if we already feel like it's a bust. So going
right.
back in here, top pick was Ezekiel Elliott, one of the best first picks I think ever in league history at this point. 313 points, and he's just getting started.
Oh, yeah. Don't disagree one bit.
Great trade for Andy. And the thing is, people have to remember, you know, like Gurley went the year before. Not number one, but Gurley was the top back the year before. And my point is that Gurley went to the Rams, and the Rams just suck right now. Elliott went to the Cowboys, who are pretty good. And the thing with Elliott is that the offensive line in Dallas is just fantastic. So I think that kind of raises the stakes, and people need to pay attention. The reason I bring that up is that people have to pay attention to where these guys go. There are players that, like, we were going to talk, and we still will. Maybe we should just do it right now, but Fournette is one of the guys that you commented on when we talked earlier today. And Fournette is a guy that I was actually kind of really – little bit getting hot for in the offseason. I was like, wow, I think I want to trade up. I maybe want to get this guy. And then I said to myself, well, wait a minute. What if he goes to, you know, what if he goes to, like, a crap team? What if he goes to, I forgot what team came to mind at the time, but, you know, it's like all of a sudden I got a little scared, and I'm like, well, wait a minute. I guess I wouldn't. Oh, Carolina. Carolina was rumored to be getting him. I'm like, well, I don't want him if he goes to Carolina. Cam Newton steals a lot of those touchdowns.
Right.
So what were you going to say about Fournette, by the way? I didn't really give you an opening when we were talking earlier about the news.
The thing with Fournette was that he had all this hype. The last time I remember hearing of a running back getting all this pub and hype and all this coming out as a freshman, and you'll know this, and you'll hear it from me, and you'll remember this is the guy I was talking about. This guy, when I heard he was going to San Diego State, there's a freshman at San Diego State, and he's going nuts. And what happened? The dude went off. He's a Hall of Famer in NFL. You know, Marshall Faulk, who else could beat that, you know? And all of a sudden, you know, the rumors are coming out. He's a little bit of a bigger version of this kid. When he first came out, he was about 212, 221 area. Well, now he's bulked up to about 240 pounds. And all the hype that you'd heard, all these, you know, from his rookie freshman year in LSU is this guy's like all world. He's, you know, like AP, he's all this, he's all that. Now come to find out, you start hearing things and you start reading and you start watching film and seeing things about the guy. The guy maybe averaged maybe 10, 12 catches in a season. And when you see him try to catch the ball, he's got that double catch where it hits his hands and then it gets free and then he grabs at it again. Or it hits his stone hands and goes. There's rumors that the guy might not even be an every down back, you know. So
I've heard that
guy,
too.
You can hinge. Can you hinge yourself on a guy that might not be a three down back, you know?
Well, I think the big problem is that, you know, when he was overweight, he blamed water, and you kind of need to drink water during the game unless they're just going to give him Gatorade.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
If water is his kryptonite, he's screwed, man. Because there's a lot of water being drank in those games.
And then if you look at this last season, he missed a lot of time being hurt. I mean, he missed games. He didn't have a great game against the Badgers. The Badgers smoked them the first game of the year that they played up at Lambeau. The guy couldn't even get over, 50 yards that game. And the Badgers weren't,
well,
you know, they weren't world beaters. And like I said, there was another running back at LSU this year that got a lot of yards. So their yardage was pretty comparable, like, through this season's end. But the other guy was used more out of the backfield to catch passes.
I think, for me, I'm going to go ahead and ask this real quick. And, again, I know we started talking about the 2016 draft, but I'm going to quick change gears because I meant to do this before and got sidetracked. Who is your top running back? Because for me, it's Cook from Florida State. Fournette's my second guy, and McCaffrey's third. McCaffrey is really intriguing.
If he goes to a team like a New England, forget about it. He could be number one.
McCaffrey?
Oh, yeah.
Cook. I was just saying about McCaffrey, it's real heavy on what team he goes to. That's kind of what I was talking about before, where guys really need to pay attention to where, you know, a player might go. Andy lucked out last year. He traded for that pick and went to Dallas. That was really lucky for him. It doesn't always work out that way.
And with the, I mean, we knew we are. I think the trade was made already after the draft had happened. So knowing that he went to Dallas, I think Andy, you know, knowing what the offensive line was, knowing that what's his name, Run DMC, Darren McFadden was able to put up 1,000-plus yards against behind that line, and I mean, you could have put almost me or you behind the line, and we could have at least got 800 yards in a season.
Hey,
so.
Man, back in the day, I was actually worth it. I was good.
Hey, back in your day, you probably could have put up 1,250, probably. 1,250, 1,300 probably behind that line.
Oh, I thought you were talking about my 40, 1,250 seconds nowadays.
Yeah, but
so,
no, I'm
looking at,
I think if – let's put it this way. If a McCaffrey gets drafted by, like, Cleveland, say Cleveland trades out of their spot like they've been known to do and gather more picks, which they need to do. So
that's another example of I wouldn't want him. If Cleveland takes
right.
him, I don't
he
want him.
He goes there. He's ruined for that 4 years or whatever that he is on his first rookie deal. He's got to wait till he's out of that contract into a new team, and hopefully it's the right team, you know. Maybe a San Diego – like New England work for him, but there's only a limited couple of teams that he would fit perfect for. Even maybe even New Orleans might be a good spot for him too.
I do think he could succeed with it, even if he got picked by Cleveland. Some of these guys are talented so good that they will succeed. I just, for me and my the way that I and I'm a I take a lot of risks in fantasy football. I just one of the things that I've always done is I look at the worst teams and I say I'm not doing this. I'm not touching like this year, this 2016. I went in, I said there's little to no chance that I will touch any player from San Francisco. I'm not going to put myself in the situation. What's the point? Why didn't I take Gurley in the first round, for example? Because I didn't think the Rams offense was that great. It wasn't because I didn't think I think Gurley's great. But that's one of those little rules I have every year. It's not that, you know, circumstances could come up. A guy's, you know, you get into, like, the 18th round and that guy's still sitting there like a Torrey Smith and maybe you say, well, gosh, you know, it's worth a shot. But early on in the first half of the draft, why take guys from these really crappy teams? It's got to be a real unique situation. Do you do the same thing?
Sometimes I just go off the board. Like I said, if you go back a few years back when I picked David Johnson, like I told you in the past, it was him and Landon Collins were on my board. And, you know, I just said, you know what, if I hit on this running back, you know, he's a future 300-plus point guy, a year guy. So, but then the other aspect of it, I knew the contract prices of safeties and cornerbacks was something that would be manageable much easier. I could probably get two lifetime contracts out of the guy for the price of one running back, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a give and take on how you manage your team and cap and everything like that and what your actual team needs. So, and at that point, well, I didn't have nothing at running back, so.
Well, speaking of team needs, let's kick it back to the 2016 draft review. What I'm going to do is quick run through the first 12 players taken, and then we can swing back and say, and I'll tell you up front, the top player in that round was Ezekiel Elliott, 313 points. The second best player in that round was Sterling Shepard. He went seventh to Year in Trouble with 183 points. Third best guy in that round was Darren Lee. No, I take that back. I'm looking at 12 players at once. The
Bosa.
Third best player was Joey Bosa to the Marauding Minotaur,
who we all kind of mocked.
Nope, egg on the face, at least for now. And Brian is somewhere gloating. He doesn't even know why. He just right now, I think he's playing games, he said, with some buddies and everything. But someplace he just, like, stood up and smiled right now. And Joey Bosa, 151 points.
Look at his two picks. Look at his two picks. The first round and his second round pick. The two of those guys put up 150 points each as rookies. on the defensive line, which is a very difficult position to get, and Bosa missed a crap ton of time. So he could have easily pushed 200 points or better.
I'm not. I'm still telling you right now that nobody was picking Bosa third last year. Yeah, it was just he did not need to take him that early. He didn't need to do everything that he did. You know, that's the thing is that you do have to in some way, shape, or form time any draft you're in, a redraft or a rookie draft. I mean, yes, you want to get the best player available, but you also do know kind of where players are going to go, and I didn't know anybody that thought Joey Bosa was going in the first round. I just don't.
Right. Now looking
but
at
again,
his defensive line, looking at his defensive line, he's got all his guys signed, they're all young, and they're all cheap, and they're all putting up 100 points or better each, which is a good foundation. Now he can spend his time putting it on other positions like safeties or offense if he needs to revamp that offense because he is kind of weak at the running back spot. So he can now turn his draft needs now that he's got two first, two second, two thirds. He can turn that to offense now if he'd like.
Maybe better. After the Ryan Matthews experiment went bad. But let's kick back here. Ezekiel Elliott, number one. Laquon Treadwell, number two. Joey Bosa, number three. Josh Doctson, number four. Kenneth Dixon, fifth. Jared Goff, sixth. Sterling Shepard, seventh. Miles Jack, eighth. Will Fuller, ninth. Darren Lee, tenth. Corey Coleman, 11th. And rounding out the first round, you bastard, Carl Joseph. So, Ipswich took Ezekiel. We both like that. Top player in the first round. Quite possibly, I'm going to glance. I think top player in the entire draft. The closest person was 260.
Closest people are going to be Jordan Howard, Michael Thomas, and then Deion Jones.
Yeah, Carson Wentz was the next closest at 260. So he blew him off. He's off the charts, hands down. Ezekiel Elliott was the way to go. Way to go, Andy, for throwing it all on the line. Laquon Treadwell was your pick at number two. Obviously, he didn't get on the field much. 4 points on the season. Quarterback situation in Minnesota went sideways. The offensive coordinator, Norv Turner, out of nowhere, quits. You know, there seemingly was some issues between him and the head coach and the way that they wanted the plays called, and Bradford is now their quarterback. What do you have to say about Treadwell? I don't think he's a bust yet, but I think he's one of those – it's one of those situations where you're like, boy, if he doesn't get on the field this year, now you start to worry.
Yeah, it's one of those – I don't know what's going on, and hearing Cordarrelle Patterson wants to do a little Ty Montgomery since Adrian Peterson will probably be gone, and it's not going to help the cause for the receivers. So I'm just going to have to bite the bullet with this guy and hope that, if he doesn't put up a lot of points this year, at least I'll get a cheap contract, and then hopefully that third year he comes out and does something.
I will say this much, and I think everybody is familiar with my Arthur Brown trade. I still don't understand how the guy missed. He must just have the brain of a Cracker Jack box because it doesn't make any sense. There's no rational reason that Arthur Brown's talent didn't parlay into the NFL. So,
right.
With that said, Laquon Treadwell, when Arthur Brown came out, nobody was saying that he wasn't going to hit. Treadwell is that guy from last year. Everyone said that he would be like one of the safest picks and that he would I don't know anybody that thought that he wouldn't play his rookie season. I mean, some of those early drafts, they were taking him in the first half of the draft.
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
Third overall, Joey Bosa, third overall, we kind of touched on that. Bosa, after a little holdout, came in and made a big splash. Will that continue? I don't know, but something to definitely keep an eye on. I think he was Defensive Rookie of the Year. if I'm not mistaken,
yeah.
Even though he missed some time. Fourth overall, Josh Doctson, Stoneform Pallies. Just Doctson derailed by injuries. That is probably the best way to say it. The future is out for him. The jury's out, and he may get his big chance next year or this year in 2017 because Jackson is suddenly,
Garcon.
I forget his first name. What's Jackson's first name? Daryl? No.
DeSean Jackson and
DeSean Jackson.
Pierre Garcon.
Yeah, DeSean Jackson and Garcon are both contracts are up, so Doctson may well have kind of a cakewalk into the starting lineup next year. Kenneth Dixon was fifth overall to show me your TDs. Dixon got some playing time. He was injured, but did finally get some playing time. He looked really good. He's probably the best running back in Baltimore. As long as they don't take it back this year, that pick could pay off in 2017 for TDs. Klingon's taking Jared Goff. Goff didn't start until late in the year, and the Rams' offense as a whole was terrible. It was just horrific. I don't know what the hell was going on out there, but it was one of the worst I've seen. So you got to say the jury is still out. The jury is still out. But Gard just traded for Stafford, so I don't think it matters anymore for him. I mean,
right.
If he had this pick to do over, he would probably take a different player. Seventh overall, Sterling Shepard. You're in trouble, took Sterling Shepard. Turned out great, although Shepard had kind of faded as the year went on. Dream team with Miles Jack. Oh, by the way, you're in trouble just has a knack for picking good wide receivers. You know, especially as you get later into the mid to late. He got Keenan Allen 1 year at 12. So he just
yep.
Sneaky guy when it comes to wideouts. Dream team taking another kind of mid-late round, first-round linebacker. Miles Jack this time. Jack didn't get into the Jaguars lineup until, you know, mid to late season. Love Dream Team's comment. I was at Summerfest, just got home, drafting intoxicated. So jury's out on this pick, but boy, Miles Jack going into the draft last year was just talked up beyond belief, him and Jalen Smith. And Will Fuller's next to Stoneform Pallies. We got 2 minutes left. Ninth pick in the first round, Will Fuller. He had an explosive start to the year. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and then he started having a problem with catching the ball all of a sudden. So the nagging question about him coming out of college going into NFL was, can he catch the ball or his hands? His hands were going to get away from him and ended up towards the latter part of the season. That's what got him.
And it's funny because Will Fuller on the offensive side of the ball started well, looked good at times, but then kind of it didn't end so great. Then you got Darren Lee. Stoneform took Will Fuller. Then the 10th pick, he took Darren Lee. Same thing, only on the defensive side of the ball. You know, there was Lee. He was looking really good, and then all of a sudden he got injured, and people started to question a little bit about him. I think he will be in the starting lineup all year this year, so we'll be able to see if
yeah, he's
got to
be
there.
Yeah, he's got to be in the starting lineup. They're clearing house over there in New York, so it's going to be him and there's another guy that I've been trying to get off of Rams for years. What the heck is that guy? Oh, Lorenzo Malden. So there's going to be a young core going on in the future.
Well, Tom, minute left here. Let's run the last two and then call it a night. Corey Coleman went downhill from here. Bill said it was one of the toughest picks he ever had to make, probably because the guy plays for Cleveland. If a tree falls in the woods, does it, you know, anybody hear it? If a wide receiver plays in Cleveland, does anybody know? Coleman had some very good games, another guy who got injured. So it's all on the quarterback in Cleveland as to whether or not that's going to work out. And then you took Carl Joseph with the 12th pick, and I thought that was just a great pick, and he's going to be an every-year starter. Go ahead and give your comments on the last two. We got less than 30 seconds.
I think for Coleman, if he didn't miss his time, I think he has roughly about 100. Double the points that he's showing on the score from last year. I think he's about a 175, 180 if he isn't hurt. He's still putting up with nobody's at that quarterback spot. And Joseph was just the best thing that I saw available other than the receiver Thomas in New Orleans.
All right, Tom, there's 2 seconds left. Take care. Thanks a lot for joining us here on the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast, everybody. It was a great time. I hope you had a good time, too. Wake me up before you go next time, pal. Rest in peace, George Michael.
Peace out.